Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Your mind is the greatest gift God has given you. And that's why today we continue with a brand new series called Rethinking Your Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick shares the 9 biblical pillars we need to reshape our minds so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of this year's brand new Daily Hope Advent calendar. It's beautiful. Just go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called Rethinking the Problem of Sin.
If you take out your message notes inside your program, we're going to continue on a series that I started a long time ago on rethinking your life. And I want to begin with a question. If I were to ask you, what's the biggest problem in your life right now? You might say, well, Rick, I'm under some financial pressure, or I've got a strain in a relationship, having a little bit of conflict, or I'm dealing with some tight deadlines I've got to deal with, or I've got opposition, or I've got limited resources, or I've got competition. You might give me a list of different problems that you have in your life, but that's not your biggest problem. The truth is, your biggest problem is you. And I am my biggest problem. You cause yourself more problems than anybody else does, and so do I. And you do it by the way you think. Because when you don't think correctly, it causes you to feel incorrectly. And when you feel incorrectly, you tend to make bad choices. And that causes all kinds of problems in your life. Most of the problems in your life are caused by the way you think. And you see, you talk to yourself all the time. You're doing it right now. While I'm talking to you, you're going, I wonder if what Rick's going to say today is going to be interesting. and you talk to yourself all of the time. Not everything you tell yourself is the truth. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In other words, I've said this to you many times. You lie to yourself. We lie to ourselves far more than we lie to anybody else. Sometimes we tell ourselves things are better than they really are. Sometimes we tell ourselves that they're worse than they really are. Not everything you feel, well, I feel it. It must be true. Not everything you feel is the truth. Not everything you think is the truth. And as your pastor and your friend and your coach, I want to tell you, I give you permission to not believe yourself. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you feel it, well, I feel it, doesn't mean it's true. And when you act on thoughts that aren't correct and feelings that aren't correct, you're going to have behavior that's not correct, and it's going to cause all kinds of problems in your decision-making. Now, this is called your sin nature. We all have it. It's also called the law of sin. It's called the power of sin in your life. For instance, even when you know the right thing to do, do you sometimes not do it? Yeah, of course. You know the right thing to do most of the time. Doesn't mean you do it all the time. And sometimes when you know something is not the right thing, and it's not good for you, and it's self-destructive, and it's harmful, do you still do it or eat it? Yes. Yes, you do. That is your old sin nature. So what I want us to do today is talk about rethinking sin. Because when we think of sin, we often we don't really understand what it's all about. So I want us to do 3 things. We're going to define what really is sin. And then we're going to talk about what's the problem with it, why it's a big deal. And then the third, this is most important, what's the solution? This is going to be a very practical, very helpful, very encouraging message when you can see, here's how I break the grip of things in my life that I can tend to do over and over and over. And I don't like doing them, but I do them anyway. And sometimes can't even stop myself. So let's start with defining sin. I mean, I've talked, as I've traveled all around the world, I've asked people, what do you think sin is? One guy told me, sin is not saluting the flag. Another guy told me, sin is not calling your mom on Mother's Day. When we think of the word sin, we usually think of behavior. And we think of bad stuff like murder and adultery and rape. And, you know, when we think of sin, we think evil, it could mean bad, nasty behavior. I don't drink, smoke, cuss, chew, or run around with girls that do. Well, you know what? God, if you read the Bible, is far more interested in your thoughts and in your feelings and in your words than even in your behavior, because when your thoughts are wrong and your feelings are wrong and your words are wrong, it's going to come out sideways. In fact, then the Bible has a whole lot more to say about sins of the tongue than sins of other parts of your body, if you get my drift. So, what is sin? Pull out a pencil, write these down. Here's four definitions for you. Number one, sin is the opposite of good and God, or God and good. Sin is the exact opposite of God. Sin is the exact opposite of good. Now, God is always good. He is never bad. And so sin is the opposite of what God is. Let's look at some Bible verses. Psalm 111, verse 7. Everything God does is good. Everything God does is good. You know, when God created, he said it's good and fair, and all his commandments can be trusted. He's a good, good father. Look at this verse up here on the screen. Psalm 145, verse 9 says, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Now, God's good to everyone. Are you good to everybody? No. Am I good to everybody? No. I'm not like God. God is good to everybody. He shows compassion to all people. I don't show compassion to all people, neither do you. God is the opposite of sin. 1 Timothy 4:4, look at this one on the screen. Everything God created is good. In fact, when he made it, he said, this is good. Now, what we do is we take what God created as good and we use it in bad ways. It's not that what God created is bad, it's what we do with it that's bad. We take the good that God has made and we misuse it, and then we abuse it, and then we lose it. We misuse it, abuse it, and lose it. Now, this is true with all kinds of stuff. Money. Money is neither good nor bad. It can be used for good, it can be used for bad. But we misuse it, we abuse it, and then we lose it. You can do this with food. You can do it with sex. Sex isn't bad. Sex isn't dirty. Sex is holy. Sex is God's idea. But we misuse it, we abuse it, and we can lose it. And so what happens is we take what God has done, created for drugs. Drugs can be used to heal people. When I was in pain in the hospital, I was glad for morphine. In the right way, it's a good thing, okay? After they've sawed your stomach open, that's a good thing. But in the misused, what happens is we divert it, we subvert it, we pervert it, and then we get hurt. We subvert, pervert, and get hurt because we misuse the good that God does. Sin is always a perversion of God's good gifts. Now, the Bible says this in Job chapter 34, verse 10. It is impossible for God to do anything evil. He cannot sin or do wrong. And you know what? As a result, God wants us to be like him, like father, like son. He wants his children to be like him. So anytime I'm sinning, I'm being ungodly. I'm being the opposite of God because God is good and sin is bad. All right? Let me give you another definition. Sin is not only the opposite of God and good. Sin is the opposite of love. Sin is the opposite of love. Sin is always unloving. Now, a lot of times we think we're being loving, but we're not really being loving. It's not loving to lie to people. And sometimes, well, I'm going to say their feelings, and I'm not going to lie. I'm going to lie to them. Sin is never loving. You know, Jesus was walking down the street one day, and a guy comes up and says, "What's the most important command in the Bible?" And Jesus goes, "That's easy. There are two of them. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as self." Life's all about love. Now, if that's the two most important commands, then sin is the opposite of those two commands. Not loving God and not loving your neighbor. Does that make sense? So sin is always unloving. Jesus said that as time goes on, history goes on, people are gonna, and as sin increases in the world, he said, love is gonna decrease in the world. Look at this verse, Matthew 24, verse 12. As sin and evil increase in the world, people's love will grow cold. Are we seeing that today? Are people more or less loving than they were 20 years ago? They're more rude. They're more critical. There's trolls on the internet, and you know, civilization is becoming less civil. Why? Because as sin increases, love decreases. They're the opposite of each other. All right? What I'm saying to you is that sin is unhelpful. It is unhealthy. It is unfair. It is unwise. It is unreliable. It is untruthful. You don't want to be doing that kind of stuff. Okay, let me give you a third definition. Sin is always selfishness. If it's not love, it's the opposite of that. It's I love me. It's sin is always selfishness. A lot of what we do in life, we tell ourselves we're doing it for the benefit of others, but we're really doing it for our own benefit. James 3:16 in the Bible says this: wherever there is selfishness, you find disorder and every kind of evil sin. At the root of every sin is self-centeredness. Now, let's just review why you're here on earth. God did not make you, and God did not create you, and God did not put you on this planet to live a selfish life. God did not make you to live for yourself. Oh, no, no, no. You were made for something far bigger than that. How many times have you heard me say you were made by God and you're made for God? And until you understand that, life's never going to make sense. God didn't create you so you could just be the selfish little clod of a person. He made you for something bigger. You were made to know God, to enjoy God, to have a friendship with God, to serve God, and to center your life around God. Now, whatever you center your life around is your God. It could be your boat or your business. It could be another person. It could be a hobby. It could be a sport. Whatever you center your life around, that's your real God, regardless of what you say, is your God. And God says, I want you to center your life around me. Sin is selfishness. Sin is self-centeredness. When I am at the center of everything in my life, that's sin. You know, growing up, one of the lessons my dad taught me that I remembered, he said, son, always remember that the middle letter of sin in English, S-I-N, is I. It's a visual representation that the I-centered life is the sinful life. We all have an I problem. I want it my way. I will do my thing. I'll do it my way, as you were saying. And the I problem that we have creates so many other problems in our life. At the heart, at the root of sin is self-centeredness. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I want to be God, and I don't want God to be God in my life. And so my dad said, son, remember that the middle letter of sin is I. And he said, and remember that the middle letter of pride is I, P-R-I-D-E. And he said, remember that the middle letter of crime is I, C-R-I-M-E. All crime is self-centered. I'm going to steal your stuff because I want it for me. I'm going to hurt you because I want to help me. And so crime is always a selfish act. It's a self-centered act. So I was thinking this week as I was preparing this message, if sin and crime and pride all have the center letter I, what other words have I at the center? So I did a little looking around through the dictionary, and I discovered some interesting parallels that we could learn from. For instance, you know, we got a lot of social problems in our world today, and three of the groups that are causing the most social problems have I at the center. Look up on the screen. Racists, sexists, and chauvinists all have I at the center. If I am a racist, I'm saying I'm better than you. Or a sexist, I'm better than you. Or a chauvinist, I'm better than you. It's an I-centered philosophy. And that, the Bible says, is sin. So then I got to thinking, what other sins happen when I start living a self-centered, I-centered life? And I made this list of sins up here. pride, as I at the center. Whine, when you whine, you're putting yourself at the center. Well, it's all about me. Criticize, I at the center. Gossiping means at that point you're being selfish. I am at center. Lying, I am at center. Thief, I at center. Envious, deceitful, defiant, I want it my way. Merciless, because I want grace for me, but not for you. When you hurt me or I get furious, that's I. Devious, hastiness, suspicion is I-based. Negligent is I-based. And when you're finicky, it's all about, I don't like my pancakes this way. You're finicky. You are showing your self-centeredness. It's all about me. It's all about I. And then I thought, well, what kind of life happens when you live a self-centered life? What are the results of living an I-centered life? And here are the results. Anxiety with I at the center. When you live for yourself, you're gonna have high anxiety. Guilt creates an I. Fatigue, pessimism. When I worry about how I look to you, I get panicky. Phoniness, because I'm wearing a mask, because I don't want you to see the real me. Hostility toward other people. Life gets difficult because I'm at the center. And most of all, life becomes emptiness because you were made for something that's far bigger than yourself. You're made to live. You've heard me say this many times. You're made by God and you're made for God. And until you understand that, you'll never figure it out. Life, because you weren't put on this planet to live for you. And if you do, you're gonna have that emptiness and all those other things. All right, number four, the fourth definition. Sin is not just selfishness and the opposite of love and the opposite of God. Sin is always unbelief. Unbelief. And specifically, it's an unbelief in who God is. At the root of every sin is, at that moment, I don't trust God. I doubt something about God. I'm doubting his love, his compassion, his wisdom, his plan. I'm doubting something about God. Unbelief is behind every sin. It's the root. It's a lack of faith. What I'm saying is I don't trust God in this situation, so I'm gonna have to take it into my own hands, figure it out myself. And Jesus says in John 16, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and the three purposes that the Holy Spirit is sent to earth. And in verse 9, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit will show that the world's sin is unbelief in me. That's the root of all sin. When I don't believe God is who he says he is, and I don't believe that God will do what he says he'll do, unbelief is the world's big sin. Everything else comes out of that. Now, I could give you several hundred examples of this, and we'd be here a long time. But let me just give you three or four there. My sin, whenever I sin, it reveals what I'm doubting about God at that moment. I'll say it again. Every time I sin, it reveals what I am doubting, my unbelief, my lack of trust, my lack of faith in God at that moment. For instance, when I become fearful or I become anxious, anytime I become fearful or anxious, you know what I'm revealing? I'm showing my unbelief in God's promises. There are over 7,000 promises in this book, and if you claim them, you wouldn't ever be fearful or anxious. It's like knowing what's in the insurance policy. When God says, I'll be with you, I'll help you, I'll encourage you, I'm not gonna let you get harmed and on, then you wouldn't be fearful or anxious. When you become fearful, it's because you're doubting God's promises. And remember, we were talking earlier about that God is love and the opposite of God is sin. Well, sin creates fear. But the Bible says there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Anytime there's sin in my life, it creates fear. Fear says, I doubt that God will keep his promises. All those things he said in his word. What about when I'm impatient? When I get impatient, and that creates all kinds of problems, what am I doubting? I am doubting God's perfect timing.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, fall is here, and that means Christmas is right around the corner. That's why we wanted to let you know that Pastor Rick and his wife Kay created a brand new Advent calendar with specially commissioned custom artwork. It's beautiful. The two-part resource includes a calendar with a special door for every day of December that opens to reveal a hidden image and Bible verse. Use it with the companion daily devotional guide to help you and your family draw closer to Jesus and prepare your heart for the real celebration. The all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar will help you spend the holidays worshiping instead of worrying, slowing down and reconnecting with God, and expressing gratitude for the true meaning of the season. You'll want to get the all-new Daily Hope Advent Calendar and devotional booklet in your hands now to start using it on December 1st, and we'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift of support to the ministry of Daily Hope. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Contact us today in order to get your copy in time for Advent. That's 1-800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I love getting these letters from you when you write in from all around the world. My prayer is that Daily Hope will bring that hope that we find in God's Word to people in every nation. Here's a note from one of our listeners who actually lives in India. Dear Pastor Rick, it's a great honor for me to share how I get blessings from the Daily Hope devotional every day. It's already been a year and a half that I've been reading the Daily Hope devotional, and I thank God for these. I also share these devotionals through social media, like Facebook and WhatsApp, and I send the daily devotions to 40 different pastors and 50 different lay leaders and to some of my church members and friends. I send them all over central India and to almost 500 people across the country. Thank you so much for this Daily Hope devotional, and may God continue to use every reader who have been called by God for his purposes. With blessings, Reverend Lankim, pastor of the Kuki Baptist Convention, Manipur, India. Well, I love how a Pastor Lankim is using Facebook. He's using WhatsApp to share these devotionals with hundreds of people in India. Do you realize that when you tell anybody about this broadcast, or when you pass on the written devotional, you're actually partners with us in sharing the gospel all around the world. And the Bible says that as partners in ministry, we will share in the rewards together. Now, this is something anybody can do. And if you haven't thought about it, start making a list of people you could tell about Daily Hope. You could do this. Anybody can do this. And if you go to our website, PastorRick.com, you can share it by broadcast, you can share the devotional, you can share it on social media with just one little click. Do you realize how easy that is? We're trying to help you help share the gospel, which God has called all of us to do. Our ability to reach people all around the world is a direct result of your prayers, your financial support, and your willingness to tell others. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say to you, thank you. I love you. And I thank God for you. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.